Okay, so today we have a very interesting, exciting topic for me personally to talk about and to discuss the Chazer for my own life, for myself, and hopefully to share and impart some ideas with you. The title that Rav Olshin gave me, he asked me last week to talk about Kibud Av V'Aim, and then I saw some title about living the dream and moving back into your parents' home, living under the same roof as your parents. So we're going to talk obviously about the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim, and particularly how it relates, how it reflects our lives now, as we are many of us coming back from a year, even two, for some of us in yeshiva. And I want to begin with a personal anecdote. I was in your seat a couple of moons ago, a couple of decades ago, and I also was in Eretz Yisrael. I spent 2.5 years in Eretz Yisrael, and it's okay. And after I went back to America, so I went to IU. I came back in January, and I was in a pretty yeshivish institution. It's called Reb Tzvi's. If you ever heard of it, Reb Tzvi Koshelevsky. It's in it's yeshivish. It's called Reb Tzvi's, you know, and it's now located in Harnof. It used to be in Givat Shaul. And my parents decided the plan was after I finished my learning in Eretz Yisrael, I would go back to YU. So I went to YU. My father's a Rebbe in YU. YU is a place that's very near and dear to my heart. And it was a natural plan. It made a lot of sense. That was the plan. I'm going to go back to YU. And I got off the plane. And I knew YU. I went to MTA. I was comfortable on those streets. As comfortable as you can be on those streets. I was comfortable on those streets. And I got to YU and I was like, I don't belong here. This is just not my zone. I was in the yeshiva. That was like a very intense yeshiva. There was no university part of the yeshiva here. There was yeshiva. It wasn't on Yeshiva University's campus. There was no connection to university. Most guys in that yeshiva never went to college in their lives. And here I was, like, back in America, in YU, and I was like, I want out. Get me out of here. And I came home to my parents miserably after the first, like, week or two. I'm like, I need to get out of this place. It's just not for me. And, we came to a point of contention, if you will, my parents and I. No, stick it out, see how it goes. One of my parents happens to be was more strong in their position, the other was less strong, but either way, they were both not interested in me going somewhere else. Try it out, see what happens. There was a meeting of the minds, so to speak, between my parents and myself on a very, very important topic, I thought. You know, I was like, get me out of here as fast as possible. Get me on the next train. I wanted to go to Neri Yisrael. Get me on the next train to Neri Yisrael. I just felt like that's not my zone. All's well that ends well, just to go on to the end of the story. The end of the story is I stayed in YU, and it was great. I was very happy in the end in YU. Baruch Hashem, I learned very well in YU. I got a good education in YU. It's not a YU pitch, by the way, but I met my Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, in YU, which is my Rebbe for life for the last 20-something years, Baruch Hashem. So I'm not, it was definitely Yad Hashem, and I'm happy that I stuck it out. But I use that story, that little vignette, as a mashal of certainly things that could happen to you in your lives when you land 2 weeks from now, or whenever you land in America, and as you kind of position yourselves and transition yourselves from the world of yeshiva to the world of your home, where you grew up, to your house, to your home. Just by way of introduction, just to understand a little bit of the psychology behind this, a little bit. I majored in psychology in YU, so but you don't have to major in psychology just to understand the obvious dynamic and challenge that exists at this stage of life. Your parents are adults. Until now, you were a kid. Maybe you were an adolescent. Maybe you were a teenager. You were growing up. You were a kid, and now you've been in Eretz Yisrael for a year. Some of us 2 years already. I'm living totally independently. I do my own laundry, maybe, or I send it out. I cook my own meals, or I buy them on their credit card. Whatever the case may be, I'm independent. I have my own ideas. I have my own visions, my own dreams for life. And they may not necessarily be in line with those of my parents. And when I was a little kid, okay, fine. So I just swallowed it. Okay, they said this. I said, okay. They said, eat this, fine. Go there, fine. But now I have my own ideas, my own dreams, my own values that aren't necessarily perfectly in sync But those are my parents, and I'm also an adult. I was 18. In Israel, when you're 18, you're like, that's it. You can go into any store, buy whatever you want. And just, as some of us may know, you can buy popcorn. Right? So now I'm an adult, and my parents are telling me, but don't do this, and I don't like the way you're doing that. That's part of the challenge, which definitely a person could face at this stage of life. I'd like to approach that a little bit with you today. I don't have a lot of time, and I have a lot to try to share with you, so we'll do the best that we can, b'siyat d'shmaya. I thought that maybe we would talk about a bunch of R's. R's. The theme of the next 20 couple of minutes or so that we have together is going to be R's. So what was discussed today in this topic? R's. The letter R. Everything I talk about is going to begin with the letter R. Let's a little bit of introduction. The first R is reflect. 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 Reflect means to contemplate, to reflect, have some reflection in life. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, what is Kibbutz Avayim about? What's the Yisod of Kibbutz Avayim? So we all know the Yisod of Kibbutz Avayim is one fundamental Yisod. The Sefer HaChinuch mentions it and discusses it at length in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel. I'm not going to read it inside because I have no time. We should look at it. And you should chazer before you go back to your house. And he writes beautifully that the whole idea of Kibbutz Avayim is Hakaras HaTov. I am absolutely beyond indebted with a sense of gratitude to my parents. They brought me into this world. When I was a little boy and I woke up in the middle of the night crying, they probably, hopefully, came to me and changed my diaper. My wife's in America now. She's on a plane all the way back, Baruch Hashem, now. This is like a fresh topic for me. I have a little baby at home right now. She takes care of a lot of those things usually. I'm not around as much. And now I was around more and I was like, oh my goodness, I appreciate my wife much more now than I was doing a lot of the things that she always does. I take for granted. Hakaras HaTov is the foundation, my friends, of Kibbutz Avayim. We should have endless gratitude to our parents. Endless gratitude. If you think in your mind, you know, maybe they wanted to have children anyway, and they wanted to have a family anyway, and like, why should I thank them for that? Like, you know, everyone likes to have families, and it's fun to have kids. And so I don't have time to read it to you, but the Chai Adam has some words for you. Not you, for a person that thinks that way. He rips them to smithereens and chops them up and spits them out. He's like, what, are you crazy? Chas v'sholom to think that way. That's the most crooked thinking imaginable. They did it for their own personal self-aggrandizement. They wanted to make themselves feel good and happy. And look, I have kids. That's not how it works. And even if they did, chas v'sholom, but you benefited tremendously. And you're still benefiting till this day tremendously. And therefore, the foundation of Kibbutz Avayim, Rabosai, is Hakaras HaTov, the absolute fundamental importance of Hakaras HaTov that we are to have with our parents, for our parents. My Rebbe Shliter of Gedalia Hachberg in Mapet Shemesh recently spoke about Kibbutz Avayim, was Parshas Yisro. He spoke about it on Friday night. He pointed out something incredible. He said, listen to this fact, every Gadol b'Yisrael, every giant in the Jewish people, bar none means with no exceptions, every single one of them was Muflag, which means they were beyond exceptional in their Kibbutz Avayim. Think about that. I can't bring you story after story after story after story. Look in the books of the Gedolim. There's always like a little part. Oh, and they, you know, and Steinman went and he look what he did for his mother. Not just Steinman, but many, many, all Gedolim, so from all stripes and all colors. It's not only the black ones. There's also some white Gedolim as well. Why not? They're all good. All, I don't mean like in color and face, I mean in garb. You know, the black yarmulkes, the white yarmulkes, doesn't make a difference. They all had this midah of a tremendous hakaras hatov and tremendous kibbutz avayim for their parents. So the first R is reflect. Because the foundation of kibbutz avayim is the idea of hakaras hatov, which we all have to try to be mechazik tremendously for our parents. But the crux of the R, the main R in kibbutz avayim, obviously, is respect. Because the mitzvah is kabed es avicha ve'es imecha. Kabed means to respect, to honor your parents. Kabed es avicha ve'es imecha. Now, I'm going to tell you a chiddush now. I think it's a chiddush. If I were to ask you, what's the mitzvah of kibbutz avayim? You'll say, you know, I know. When my daddy says, can I have a cup of water? So I bring a cup of water. When mommy says, can you please bring me a towel? So I go get a towel. That's true. That's also part of kibbutz avayim. That's not the main mitzvah of kibbutz avayim. It's not the main one. So what is it? So I quote the Chai Adam. Says the Chai Adam an amazing thing. This is in, if you want to see it, it's in Klal Samach Zayin, Oz Gimel. Hakibud hu b'machshava v'maisa v'dibur. Hakibud is with thought, with action, and with words. B'machshava, he quotes a pasuk, and he says the following thing. A person shouldn't say, ah, oh, my parents, they're just regular people. They're just average. They're just nothing special about them. You know, I'll say nice things to them. I'll say you're a good guy, dad or mom, but I don't really mean it because they're just maybe average or even sub chas v'shalom. That's what I think in my mind. No, no, no. Says the Chaye Adam. Listen to this. Chas v'shalom. Ella. What it means is you have to mechaber them in your heart. Shem chashuvim be'enov v'libo. They're honorable people. They're important people in my eyes and in my heart. They're great. My parents are great. There's something special about them, unique about them. They're awesome. That's part of the mitzvah of kibud. Now here comes the chiddush. Listen to this. Maybe others don't treat these people as so great, but in my eyes, my parents are amazing. They're incredible. They're so unique. They're so special. Says the chayadam v'zeh ikar akibud. That's the main part of kibud avim, not what you do for them or don't do for them, what you bring them and don't bring them. The main mitzvah of kibud avim is to have the inner respect for them, the regard for them, the chashivos in your thought for your parents. Because if you don't do that, so it's just lip service. Okay, here, Dad, I really think you're a, but I'm going to bring you a cup of water anyway because the Torah says that's not kibud avim. What kind of kibud is that? In your heart, you're saying, I hate your guts. And you put on a smile. No, chas v'shalom. The mitzvah is to have this tremendous regard for one's parents. I have to tell you the truth. I was zocheh, and I'll come back to this at the very, very end, the last few minutes. I was zocheh in my life to see unbelievable kibud avim. Unbelievable. From the time that I can remember back as a young boy, the kibud avim that both of my parents showed to both of them, to their parents. My father, I'm named for my father's father. I never met my grandfather, my paternal grandfather. But I was Baruch Hashem, very zochah to have a very close relationship with the other three grandparents. They both, all three of them, lived well into their 90s, Baruch Hashem. And I had a great schlitz to know them all, the other three, very, very well. But I want to just give a shout out to my parents. I'll come back to it at the very end. For the unbelievable respect and regard, not just physical taking care of their parents. Both of my mother's parents moved into my house for the last years of their life. They lived in my parents' house. Years. Like a decade. They lived in my parents' house. My parents are busy people. Rabbi and Rebbetzin of a shul. But like everything stopped for those years because my grandparents were there. They couldn't just do the same things they did because Mama and Zadie are living in the house. That's how it went. That's how it was. My father's mother, Lashon, lived in Brooklyn. My parents lived in Jersey. So they weren't in the same house. My father, Shlita, called my grandmother, Allah Shalom, every single day. I have memories as a little boy, when I was a little kid, every single morning in the month of Elul, when you build a shofar, she was an almana. Unfortunately, her husband passed away like 30 years ago. 30 years before, many, now it's 40-something years ago, but she was an older almana. She was lived by herself for over 30 years without her husband. Every morning, the Zintai, in the month of Elul, my father would call up, and he would blow the shofar for my grandmother in the morning, because how could my grandmother not hear the shofar in the morning? Who's going to blow it for her? He even gave us the schuss to blow the shofar for us also. That's how we looked at the blow shofar also. Like, yeah, okay, let's get involved. So we got the blow shofar too. Moreover, Rabosai, kibud avim is not just about action, but primarily about regard and respect. Problem is that sometimes there's friction. Friction. Let me explain. The mitzvah is to honor. The mitzvah is not just to do whatever they want. Raise your hand in this room, please, if you'd like to be a garbage man one day. If your dream is to be a garbage man. Come on, don't be shy. It's great. They have good benefits. Okay, it smells a little bit. Take a shower. Just gefährlich. Not so bad. No one wants to be a garbage man. Let's say your parent says, you know, my dream for you, Shimi, Chas v'Shalom, is you should be a garbage man. I want you to be a garbage man. She's like, no. Kibud avim! Kabeinu tzibichas imecha. So Shimi's a lamdan. He says, I went to a shir the last 2 weeks of yeshiva, and I know the answer to this question. The answer is, with all due respect, mommy and daddy, that's not part of the mitzvah of kabeda simcha simecha. I don't have to do everything they say. They say be a garbage man, I don't want to be a garbage man. They say be a doctor, I don't want to be a doctor. I'm scared of needles. Blood, I start to faint. But they always wanted me to be a doctor. That's so nice. I'm so happy for them. But I don't want to be a doctor, and I don't have to be a doctor. Kibud av v'aim. It's okay. It's not a violation of kibud av v'aim. The mitzvah is not to do whatever they say. The mitzvah is to respect them. I'll give you some classic examples of guys going home. And sometimes, I'll give you the most extreme one I ever heard in Shraga. I know this is being recorded, but we'll share it anyway. There was once a boy in Shraga whose parents made the following condition to him. They said, you can't go back to yeshiva after Pesach unless when you come home for Pesach, you go with us to a mixed beach. Kacha. You come with us to the beach. If you don't come with us to the mixed beach during Pesach ben hazmanim, you're not going back to yeshiva after Pesach.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
So there, I'm not here to Paschal. I'm just asking a local rabbi. But there, that's not so simple. Not only is there no obligation to do everything your parents say, but there is an obligation to not listen to your parents if they're going against what the Torah says we're supposed to do. Open Pasuk, open Chazal. Ish imo v'aviv tira'o, yes, Shabbos v'sayit tishmoru. If your parents say, I love you so much, just turn on the light on Shabbos. Not allowed to listen to them. Kibud av v'aim, no. But kibud av v'aim doesn't trump mitzvos, not only mitzvos d'oraisa, even mitzvos d'rabbanan. This is not the topic of today's discussion. That was a very extreme example. But let's talk more practical, what you might face a little bit more than that extreme scenario. You're learning the whole year, let's go. Let's get out of the base medrash a little bit. You've been back for 2 weeks already and you haven't picked your head out of the Gemara. Maybe you should go chill a little bit. Get out of it, relax a little bit, which is fine. Parents can say that, that's totally fine. You don't feel like you need a break. Not 2 weeks in the Gemara, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But you feel like you're doing well. You feel like you're healthy. You feel like you're not too intense. You feel like you're doing great. So what do you do in that situation? Your parents don't like your dress. They think that your dress is too frummy. What do you do? You became yeshivish on me? You just went for 1 year to Shraga. Like, why are you dressing so frum? They don't like the way you dress. Is that a mitzvah of Kiyarim to dress that my parents want me to dress? Probably not. If I like to wear blue pants, my parents say, black, only black pants. I have to wear black pants? So what's the answer? What do I do? How do I deal with these kind of situations? So I both said we're still on number 2R. And that is respect. The answer is respect. What does that mean? I'll tell you a great story that happened to me in my life. One of my favorite stories that happened to me. It's not really much of a story, but the advice that I got from my Rebbe is so, so incredible. Many, many years ago, we made Aliyah. My wife and I had a machlokas l'shem shamayim. We don't like to call it fights. We had a point that required clarification. What was that? The following point. We live in Rapid Shemesh, and many people take tramps in Rapid Shemesh. Okay. Tramps are cool. Except my wife felt it's not safe. How can you pick up a trampist? Who knows? Maybe it's an Arab disguised as a chassid. And maybe maybe the bags, you think that they're chickens in the bag, but maybe it's really, bombs. And I'm like, come on. It's safe. It's totally fine. There's no problem to pick them up. She's like, please don't. I don't want you to do it. I'm worried. It's dangerous. I'm like, darling, sweetie pie, it's fine. It's fine. It's okay. It's not dangerous. And it's 500 degrees in Beit Shemesh. That's why they call it Beit Shemesh. It's so hot. And it's the summertime. And then, how could I not stop for them? So my Rebbe comes there so often time in the summer, and I discussed the drive him one time. So I asked my Rebbe, what should I do? I said, on the one hand, my wife, I have to respect her. I want to respect her. I want to honor her wishes. On the other hand, it's painful to drive by these people who are baking in the sun, literally. And I'm sitting in my air-conditioned car, chilling away, maybe listening to some good music, maybe Benny Friedman's in the background, or I don't know, Shweki. And they're baking under the sun. What do I do? So Rebbe said to the following thing. Beautiful, beautiful Eitza for life. This is what he said. It fits perfectly with what we're saying right now. He said the following. What you have to do, first of all, is do your homework. What's your homework mean? You make sure that there's no real risk in driving people locally in Ramat HaShemesh. Assuming that's true. Assuming that Bli Ayin Hara, in the confines of where you want to get people traveling, from Aleph to Bet, or not talking intercity, I'm talking about, you know, near the Chas V'Shalom, by the, you know, in the Shtachim, or where it's much more dangerous. In Ramat HaShemesh area, where there's pretty much no Arabs there at all, except for people that are working, that are usually not tramping. So assuming you could clarify that there's almost no risk or no risk involved in what you're doing, this is what you do. If your wife is in the car, you don't stop for trampists. Maybe even if your children are in the car, don't do it, because it'll just make things uneasy with your family. But if you're by yourself, and you know there's no sakana involved, no, and it's a big if, but if you know there's sakana involved, then you can pick them up. And then he gave the following mashal. He said, let's say it's 1,000 degrees outside, or it's 100 degrees outside, and your mother says to you, "Oh, Andy, I'm so worried about you. Put on a sweater." I look outside. I'm like, I want to just rip off my shirt, jump in a pool. She says, "Put on a sweater." What do you do? Here's what you do, said my Rebbe. You put the sweater on. You walk out of the house. You walk where your mother's no longer in vision. And you take the sweater off. Why? Because you're mechaber your mother. Your mother wants to put on a sweater. But you're not obligated to torture yourself in life. You're not obligated to do things that are totally torturous to you for yourself in life. Kibbutz Avim doesn't mean to torture yourself, to do things that are torturous to yourself, and therefore that's the answer. But what's the it's a good story. I like the story. What's the yisod? The yisod is kabed, R, number two R's. I have like four more. And like 5 more minutes. Two R's, the ultimate R of Osef Kibbutz Avim is respect. And even if you have points that require clarification with you and your parents, and you will have those, that usually happens, especially at this age of life where I'm becoming an adult, and they still sometimes maybe look at me as their little tchotchka and a little boy that, you know, they're still pitching your cheeks. I'm like, stop pitching my cheeks. The overarching, underlying yisod of interacting with parents is the idea of respect. Of keep it out. Your parents say, go out and spend some more time. Say, thank you very much for the idea. Maybe even go. You don't have to tell them that I went for X amount of time, but respect them. Respect them. Respect your parents. Halfway there. Okay. Pick and choose. I'm going to skip 2 hours. I owe you 2 hours. I'm going to jump to the last 4. This is a very important idea. The next R's are right and right, right and right. What does right and right mean? Sometimes in life, it's not right versus wrong. Sometimes it's right versus right. And I have to pick the greater right of those two rights. And then I have to know, which right should I pick? It's not so simple. I recently met a Talmud who I haven't seen in a long time. He became very, 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 ultra religious. I never saw one of my Talmudim go this far in his religiosity. Very, very, very religious. So much so that he decided his children, he has 2 little kids, they're not allowed to even ever see a screen. Like this kind of screen, or like it. And the grandparents live far away, and the grandparents want to, you know, screen time or FaceTime a little bit with the grandchildren. No way. No screen for my kids. I'm not his Rebbe. Meaning, I was his Rebbe. He doesn't ask me a shalos now anymore. I understand the concept of not getting kids addicted to screens. I think that screen addiction is a very, very dangerous thing. You could probably tell me more than I could tell you about it. I was Zocha, Baruch Hashem, to be raised in the house. I didn't have a television. My parents never had a television, Baruch Hashem. So I didn't have too much screen time on my television. I didn't have a television. It's a danger. There's a fear. I see with people. I see with Talmidim. I see with screen time is danger. Does that mean that we should cause our parents across the ocean to suffer because of that chumrah, maybe? That concern that my kid might get at the age of 1 year old might get attached to screen time if all they're seeing on the screen is his parents' faces on the screen? He didn't ask me the shayla. I personally think it's wrong. I think there's a right and there's a right. He thinks he's doing the right thing. I'm protecting my kids, they're neshamos, and I'm not against protecting kids' neshamos. I love kids' neshamos. They're great, they're holy, they're pure. I'm not, who am I to chas v'shalom say otherwise? But there's a right and there's a right. There's that chumrah, it doesn't say medina anyway, you can't look at the screen, I don't think. It's like just, you know, parents that are dressed on the screen, it's no problem. Versus kibud av v'em, which is also a mitzvah. I use that as an extreme mashal, but Rabosai, it applies in many areas in life. We're going to come home, I look at the kitchen, I learned Hilchos Shabbos this year, and I see my mom is doing something in a way that maybe isn't perfectly in sync with what I learned in Hilchos Shabbos. Now what? Here's the answer. I have to know. I don't speak out every problem. Oh, you're doing that wrong, mommy! Rabbi, you didn't look, told me, don't say my name. Rabbi, you didn't tell me Hilchos Shabbos, that doesn't, you're not allowed to do that. You can't use that warming drawer that way on Shabbos. You have to know what's a chumrah, what's not a chumrah. Am I doing this in a respectful way? Am I doing this in a way that's going to engender respect and honor like I'm supposed to my parents? If I get my way sometimes, if I win a battle, but I lose a war, did I win or did I lose? We had a discussion yesterday in my shir about the war in Gaza. Did we win or did we lose? Oh, Kedan. If you win a battle but you lose a war, then you lose. Oh, I got my way. Shkoyach. Kol hakavod, you got your way. And now what? Now your parents are mad at you. And now they don't want to support your lifestyle. And now they're not interested in what you're doing. So you got your way. And what was the price that you paid for it? So these two R's are right and right. I want to just close because my time is up in 1 minute and I have a lot more to talk about, but I want to just close with two more R's. And then we'll discuss what we try to say. The last two R's, I want you to keep in mind, Rabosai, are return and reward. They're related. Return and reward. I want to share with you two quick little ideas about this, and then we'll chazer and we'll let you go. Kabeiras avicha v'asimecha, what does the Torah say? What's the reward for that? Lema'an, yarichun yamecha. You have a long life. What's the connection between honoring your parents and a long life? Rabbeinu, I'm going to give you two pshatim. One is Rabbeinu Bechaya's, and the second one is a suggestion that I'll suggest to you. Rabbeinu Bechaya says an amazing thought. Kabeiras avicha v'asimecha. You know why? You might think, I'm spending so much time with my parents, especially when they get older. They need me to take them to this doctor and to that place. I'm losing so much time of my life. It's just not worth it. Says the Torah, no. Kabeiras avicha v'asimecha. You know why? L'man yarichun yamecha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back. You gave up of your life. You thought you gave up of your life. No. It'll be good for you in your life also, because your life will be more, you'll be given more of your life. Your life will be enriched physically also, but also mostly you'll be given more life because of Kibud Av V'Em. But I want to just close with one last pshat. The best way to teach my friends in life is not usually by instruction, but by example. If you tell your kid, do this, okay, maybe they'll do it when you're there. But if they leave, then they may not do it anymore. If you show them and you model a behavior and they follow in that footsteps, it's a much better way to teach. Kibud Av V'Em, it's been pointed out before by many, is one of those mitzvahs that the best way to teach it is by just doing it. I mentioned before the Kibud Av V'Em that I saw in my parents. It made such a very, very strong, deep impression upon me that whenever I have the chance to try my best to mechab my parents, like I jump at the opportunity. I don't take credit for it. I saw them do it. I saw the way that they took care of their parents, and I want to do the same for them. I saw how invested, how important Kibud Av V'Em was to my parents, and I'm sure many of you saw the same by your parents, the way they were mechabed their parents, that it's just like I wanted the same. So maybe the pshat in the pasuk is kabeiras avicha v'asimecha. You know why? L'man yarichun yamecha. If you do it to your parents, what's going to happen? Your kids will do it to you. That's not why we do it. But your life will be also made yarichun yamecha because you took care of your parents and your kids saw the same and they want to do the same to you. And therefore, l'man yarichun yamecha. There's a lot here that we didn't discuss, but let's just chaz what we did discuss. And we'll end with one last chazal. Mamish 1 minute. I want to end on time, and I'm not even doing that right now. We spoke about the challenging age that we live in. The age of going in between adolescence to adulthood, and sometimes the friction that brings with it. And number one, we said reflect. Hakar Satov, Sefer Achinach. Respect. The main idea of the mitzvah is to respect your parents. Even if you disagree, even if they tell you to do something you don't want to do, you don't have to necessarily listen, but you do have to respect. I skipped 2 R's that I'll just tell you now for now. I'll throw them in at the end. Keep them in mind. If you want things to work well with you and your parents, Mitzvah Hashem, two other R's you want to make sure you take care of is that you're real, you're consistent, are real, and you're responsible. I can't go into them right now because there's no time. I apologize. Different time maybe. But real and responsible are very, very key to make sure that the relationship goes very, very smoothly. There's right and there's right. Sometimes there's no right and wrong. It's right and right. And you have to make sure that you understand that the greater right, not the right what seems right now, but the right that's the ultimate right. And finally, there's tremendous return and reward that exists for this amazing mitzvah. I just close with the following words of the Chayyadim again, earlier in the same klal, where he writes the following thing. He says, it says, it says, there are three partners in man, Hashem, father and mother. Chazal say, listen carefully, when a person is mechaved his parents, Hashem says, Mala ani aleihem kilu darti b'neihem v'chibduni. When you honor your parents, Hashem says, it's as though I was living there and you honored me. Wow. Imagine that. When we're mechaved our parents, when we take this mitzvah very, very carefully and seriously and do what we're supposed to do, Ribbono Shalom says, you know what? Let me in also. I want to be part of this house. I want to be in this environment where there's a sense of covenant and respect and appreciation and regard that's there. We should be zocha to understand, to appreciate the value of this mitzvah, this precious mitzvah. We should be zocha to live harmoniously under one roof, live the dream for many years to come. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful day.